always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
It would take someone 5 minutes to Google Jake Tapper, Donald Trump, to see that Jake Tapper has
This is an activist you're looking on your screen, not a journalist.
For tens of millions of our fellow Americans, their long national nightmare is over.
What President Trump apparently does find exciting is fomenting fear and doling out falsehoods at a clip that seems dual-purposed to also be a federal employment program for fact-checkers.
Those moderates say Trump's Hitler, so the debate will be fair and balanced.
If you were to open up a copy of Hitler's Mein Kampf, Donald Trump's language mirrors this directly.
Jake Tapper has said publicly, Sean, that Trump is a threat to democracy and has a, quote, disdain for democracy. Never says that about Joe Biden.
And welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show, 101.9/94 News Talk STL.
I'm scared.
Well, Chris, that's the Commie News Network, and the guy who just calls balls and strikes and right down the middle as he sees it, fake Jake Tapper. Chris, how hypocritical was it for CNN to go all a clutching their pearls yesterday when they were accused of not liking Donald Trump? Was that a news flash to anyone other than CNN? They were so offended by that.
Well, they try to put up the image that they are fair and balanced. And, you know, ever since they fired the Jeffrey Zucker, I think his name is, they wanted to be viewed more as a mainstream news source instead of a liberal news source. So they put up this feign of being offended when they know that Bash and Tapper are both very are very biased against Trump. Those clips that we played show it. And I think it's also a part of the Trump campaign kind of working the refs before the event to say, hey, these people here are biased. Here's why. And be on the lookout for it when you see it on Thursday.
I think very wise to try to put CNN back on their heels. I doubt it will affect them. But Chris, you mentioned Dana Bash. And so for all the liberals out there, and we know you listen to us, who are thinking, well, OK, we'll give you Jake Tapper. He definitely hates Donald Trump. But Dana Bash is really fair and balanced. We got a little bit of her as well. Oops, sorry, Joey.
I'm the worst.
Watch
hold on. One second.
Number 10.
Number 10, Dana Bash.
Here's a question that I have, because it is, again, it seems like the Supreme Court is in a bubble, or perhaps it's some of the justices are in a bubble, and they're not dealing with, I mean, when they say, oh, Congress can do this, there are members of Congress, and we can go through the list, who are never going to do anything that would make life difficult for Donald Trump. So to think that the Congress is going to solve this, they barely can get a post office name these days.
It's true. I mean, and you can go down the list of Supreme Court decisions that kicked whatever issue over across the street over to Congress, whether it is, Obamacare, which is something that the Democrats were very happy about when they when they did that, a little bit of a different kind of court. Voting rights, I think, is maybe the primary example of what you're saying before this. You know, look, unfortunately for America, the court isn't necessarily wrong that this is the way the framers wanted it to be. They wanted Congress, the people who are closest to their constituents, to be able to make the rules of the laws.
That's just breathtaking when you just think about it. Here's a journalist fact-checking and second-guessing the Supreme Court decision.
And Bash famously said, in conjunction with that sound, with that quote there, in another clip, she said, you know, unfortunately for America, the Supreme Court decided to keep Trump on the ballot. So those folks, those are your two moderators, Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, who have trashed Donald Trump for the last, I mean, Chris, they They helped get Donald Trump through the first primary election back in 2016. And ever since that point, they've tried to use the persona of Donald Trump to say orange man bad. And they have mercilessly attacked him since then, way before January 6th, right? I mean, he's been a racist, a misogynist, a sexist, someone who is going to plunge us into World War III, someone who is going to crash the economy. Meanwhile, Joe Biden actually has done all of those things that they said that Donald Trump would do.
Yeah, I mean, they've been forecasting their strategy for November all year, that it's Donald Trump is bad for democracy. He's a threat to democracy. He's going to take reproductive rights away from women. He's going to suspend the Constitution and rule as a dictator. The North Korean president and Putin are his best friends. He reads Mein Kampf, which is on the side of his table there, bikes to his bed. So that's their philosophy, that as we've seen these polls here, they are not working. The New York Times has a poll tracker thing that they started today that tracks all the national polls, and they've got it. And this is a national race, but we know it's going to be in seven states where it's this race is determined. But it's a complete tie, 46-46. And that's something they can't hide. The poll tracker says that, and it shows this is going to be a close race. Joe Biden, as the incumbent president, with the accomplishments that they say they have, you would think that they would be doing better, but they're not.
I saw that New York Times poll tracker, and I was a little, I'm always surprised when the New York Times gives any sort of credence to the fact that Donald Trump may win this election. And when you looked at their analysis, the New York Times' current analysis on the battleground states, they have the majority of those going to Donald Trump. Lots can change in the next 6 months. Like, a ton can change. But right now, today, if the election were held today, the New York Times would predict that Donald Trump would win with 312 electoral votes.
And with all these toss-up states, the one state that is the most surprising to me where he's running away with it is Nevada, where I think he has like a 9-point lead over Biden in Nevada. He has support of Hispanics. He has the support of the hotel workers, SEI workers out there. So, if Trump can carry Nevada by 9 points, which was kind of a stalwart Democratic state the last couple of cycles, that could mean good things in November.
I'm glad that Nevadans have a longer political memory than most of us in the country. And even we oftentimes have, as one politician once said, everyone has the political memory of an amoeba. We tend to just jump to the next story every single day. Nevadans remember that it was Joe Biden that kept their state and the U.S. economy shut down for years into the COVID pandemic when we should have been reopening things. And so Nevada was especially crippled by Joe Biden's COVID economy failure and by Bidenflation. And I'm glad for once that someone is remembering what Joe Biden's policies have done to them over the last 3.5 years. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, speaking of Joe Biden's policies and elections, you know, Tim, we say this every Tuesday, somewhere there's an election today, and three big elections that people are looking at is this Jamal Bowman race up in New York. He is really a lot of focus on him because he is a potential squad member that could lose. And as we were saying to Zach during the break and everything, it's funny, and maybe it's because our primary is not till August, but I'm like, Cori Bush is losing by 22 points. Jamal Bowman is losing by 17 points. She is another potential squad member that could lose this cycle. Two of them probably are going to go down.
Cori Bush, call your office. You got to ask the question, have the Democratic power base, the establishment, the old school establishment Democrats, have they had enough of the progressive left-wing lunacy? In some parts of the country, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens tonight.
Yep.
Chris, we've got a big event tonight. Folks, we'd love for you to come out and visit us. We're going to be heading there really soon. Saving America 2024, the economy and the courts, featuring the fellows we just had on in the first hour. We're going to talk to them again this hour, Joel Griffith and Zach Smith. We're going to chat with them before we run over to the St. Charles Funny Bone. Doors open at 6:30 right after the show. We're going to hustle over there, and the show starts at 7. You can register for tickets at this point, or just come out. Just come out and see us. We'll register you on the spot. We'll get you a seat. We'd love to have you join us. Chris, one of the things we're going to be talking about with Joel and with Zach, because a lot of the legal matters, a lot of the lawfare affects people's economic position as well. We're going to be talking a lot about economic freedom tonight, and that's the subject of today's Speaker Stump Speech.
Listen to me, listen. listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
It's time for the Speaker's Stump Speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
You know, I'll give leftists a lot of quarter, and I'll give them a lot of room to roam as long as they're not leftists. You know what? I can have a conversation with an old school classical liberal, or even, you know, a more modern day, you know, JFK, Bill Clinton type of liberal, right? It's where the leftism comes in that I lose them. And you know, one of my favorite liberals, this is one of my guilty pleasures, is the front man for the famous Irish rock band U2. I'm a huge U2 fan. It's probably my favorite band of all time. And Bono said something. He was, first of all, really good friends with George W. Bush back in the day. They did a lot of work together in Africa and regarding the AIDS crisis and so much more back at that time. And Bono was famous for saying that he understood that capitalism was the, with all of its warts, which it has, with all of its problems, which it has, it's still the best economic system for lifting billions of people around the world out of poverty. Bono said, look, I grew up impoverished, young, poor kid in Northern Ireland, and only because of the capitalism of the United States of America did he become a world-famous rock musician, the dream of many young men and women around the planet. Bono says it's because of the United States of America and its free market system that I and my family were lifted out of poverty, and that's how so many people have been lifted out of abject poverty around the globe. Well, you know what? Many liberals these days are getting a lot of things right, from Bono to Bill Maher to Jerry Seinfeld, on and on and on. And it is an absolute fact that economic freedom does pull people out of poverty. We're going to talk about that quite a bit this evening at the Funny Bone with our good friends Joel Griffith and Zach Smith from the Heritage Foundation. And I found a great article from the America Institute for Economic Research, that great group. I know a lot of the folks that work there, AIER.org. Only economic freedom pulls people out of poverty. I want to focus on four basic facts, mechanisms that connect greater economic freedom to poverty alleviation. Why? Why does greater economic freedom lift people out of poverty? Well, it's because of these four mechanisms that the article discusses. It's a long article, but I'm going to focus on this one particular paragraph here. The first, enhanced economic growth and job creation. A freer economy attracts more businesses and investments. Folks, doesn't that make sense? Then why don't we just do it, right? Fewer regulations and lower taxes reduce the cost and complexity of starting and operating a business. Like, if you're going to do a startup and it's going to take you, you're going to have 12 lawyers and 18 accountants and file 18 million forms, you know that that's going to hold you back. Less regulations, lower taxes will encourage that free market entrepreneurship in America and beyond. As the article says, it encourages that. It leads to job growth and it leads to job creation and economic growth. That's more opportunities for the poor to climb out of poverty. Second, lower taxes. Lower taxes allow for greater rewards to effort, enhancing motivation, right? If you tax something more, you're going to get less of it. If you tax something less, you're going to get much more of it. It just makes perfect sense. Third, the absence of regulation means that many regulatory barriers, such as costly occupational licenses or business permits, are eliminated, which allow for new pathways out of poverty to emerge. We need a basic regulatory framework. We need to make sure that people's health and safety are protected. Beyond that, government just needs to get out of the way. Fourth, economic freedom flattens barriers to geographic mobility such that people can move to places of greater opportunity. Don't we always talk about that? They're not confined by the zip code in which they just happen to be born into. A contemporary example of this mechanism is land use regulations in cities which restrict the supply of housing. That's becoming a big issue these days. By increasing the price of housing, these regulations make cities inaccessible to the poor, who often have to find out how to live there, even if they're hubs of economic opportunities. As such, people are stuck in areas with limited economic opportunities and growth. The removal of these barriers also complements the effect of lower taxes, as factors that demotivate people from trying new pathways are removed. As such, their removal acts as a motivator. If you incentivize people by giving them greater economic freedom and liberty, greater upward mobility and chances to succeed, they will prosper. That's called having a vibrant middle class, lifting people out of poverty into the middle class, creating a huge middle class. You want to reduce the poverty classes. You don't just want a nation of, you know, 7 or 8 fat cats. You want a big, robust, vibrant middle class. That's something that the Biden administration, and I'm sorry, their communist Marxist manifestos that they've been passing over the last few years, tends to crush and discourage. They seem to be wanting to do nothing but gut the middle class. They want to have a country of two classes, the haves and the have-nots. I think people's memories are a bit longer than the latest shiny, flashy object. I think they remember how great they had it under Trump and how bad they've had it under Joe Biden. Economic freedom pulls people out of poverty. It's been doing it for centuries in America and around the globe. And that's the stump speech for today.
You know, Trump administration gave you just a great contrast between Democratic liberal economic policies and conservative economic policies. During Obama, we had a recession. They were telling us we were never going to have 3% growth ever again. That's a pipe dream. Be happy with 2, maybe 2.5% growth. Trump comes in, cuts taxes, cuts regulation, makes it easier for businesses to bring capital from overseas back into the United States. The economy just explodes. Women unemployment at an all-time low. Black unemployment all-time low. Hispanic unemployment at an all-time low. For the first time in 50 years, blue-collar wages rose higher than white-collar wages. I mean, you have a contrast right there, and you don't have to be like, well, this happened 20 years ago, and there was a 20-year time lag in between. No, there was 2 years. Obama leaves office. Trump puts in this policy. 2 years later, the economy explodes.
Such a good point. And Chris, you know, yes, of course, it's in the visage of Trump. But if any Republican president had done that, we'd be praising him. It's the policies, as you just pointed out, that made that incredibly graphic change. And isn't it interesting? I don't believe in conspiracies. I only believe in connections. Isn't it interesting that the only thing that stopped it in its tracks was the Fauci flu?
Yeah, I mean, the pandemic, I mean, the economy was rolling, was doing fine. And then when we shut the economy down and cut down jobs as well, and the economy folded. And the only reason why I think that we didn't have a total meltdown after Trump left office and we had the Biden economic policies was because the Trump economy was so strong.
Robust.
And regardless of how Biden tried to destroy it, it was still resilient economy based on Trump's policies.
Absolutely. Yeah, no coincidences there, just connections. All right, when we come back, we're going to be speaking to our good friend Senator Jim Talent, and then we're going to chat one last time with the guys Zach Smith and Joel Griffith. How about come out and see all of us live, including producer Joey V. Right? You're going to be telling jokes with the funny bone, right?
Of course. I got a tight 1 minute. Just ready to go.
Tight.
Ready to roll. Saving America 2024. We'll see you at the St. Charles Funny Bone. Next, we're going to talk to Senator Jim Talent about everything that's troubling the globe and Joe Biden's America and beyond. When the Tim Jones and Chris Sharp Show rolls on, 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.